You see people bring up toxic masculinity, and a lot of times people bring it up because they just hate masculinity.
Sitting here telling men to cry more. That is why we have the problems we have in the world.
Learn how to deadlift. Learn how to squat. But that's part about being a man.
The moment a man is held hostage by what his woman thinks, he has lost his masculinity.
But specifically, what toxic masculinity represents is masculinity untethered from moral accountability to other men.
Welcome to Way of Manhood. And now your host, Dr. Adam Tyson.
Welcome to Way of Manhood. My name is Adam Tyson, and I'm the host of this show as we talk to young men about how to grow and mature in your faith. And I want to talk to Gen Z in this series that we're doing right now about dating. And I want to give you 10 principles that I see in God's Word about how to date to the glory of God. It's important, young men, that you date a Christian, and not just any quote-unquote Christian, but someone who's truly maturing in their faith, someone who is not just saying they're a Christian, but you've had an opportunity to talk with them. And basically, I was telling you guys last time a little bit about how I met my wife, Lisa, and I was talking to the college pastor on the phone. He said, Lisa's a great girl. She's a mature Christian. You should totally ask her out. And so I did. I clicked back over from the phone to Lisa that same night, and I said, hey, you know, I didn't know you knew Rick. And she's like, yeah, our families go way back. And I'm like, oh, that's really cool. I'm like, well, look, I would love to hear about your trip to Uganda. I would love to get together and just hang out sometime and get to know you better. How about we go out for coffee? Guys, that's another great way to get to know somebody. It doesn't have to be a formal date right out of the box. You know, you don't really know this girl. Maybe something a little bit more non-threatening would make her feel comfortable and just kind of be kind of like an easy way just to get to know each other. So I suggested, why don't we grab coffee? She said, yeah, that's great. And I'm like, well, how about this weekend? And she said, I'm free on Friday. Okay. Another indication that she's reciprocating some of this interest here. And so I'm like, great. How about I'll pick you up at 8 o'clock? And so I go over to her house at 8 o'clock. She was living in a home with her sister and her husband. And so she was like a roommate there. And so I just picked her up. We go out to coffee. We went to the Coffee Bean and Tea Leaf, which in California is a popular coffee place to go if you're looking for an alternative to Starbucks. We have coffee and we just start talking. And I you know, just try to chit-chat a little bit, get to know her. And then I said, hey, Lisa, tell me your testimony. Just tell me how she came to saving faith. She wasn't annoyed by that question. I mean, I had gone out on dates with other girls and I would try to ask them about their testimony and it almost kind of seemed like they didn't want to talk about it, you know, which is kind of an indication they may not be a growing Christian. You know, if a girl doesn't want to talk about Jesus, then it might not be the right girl for you, you know, because you should have Christ in the center of your relationship. And so when I asked Lisa about her testimony, she was just lavishing the love of God on her heart and testimony about how she had come to Christ. And then I asked her a few theological questions. I actually asked her a little bit about how did you come to understand the doctrines of grace, the idea of a little bit of a Calvinistic faith. And so I don't mean to distract you guys from listening if you're kind of working through that issue, but that was something I was kind of had believed, that God was sovereign in my salvation. And so I asked her what she thought about it. And she's like, I've kind of always seen it that way. And I'm like, well, how did you come to that conclusion? Because I really, you know, I was a pretty strong Arminian, and then I became a pretty strong Calvinist, and that transition took me like 2 years of studying the scripture. How did you come to that conclusion? And she's like, oh, I've always believed that. And I'm like, oh man, this girl is like, she loves the Lord. She loves good theology. She's reformed in her soteriology. And so we go back, you know, we're out like an hour or so. We go back to her home where she was living. Shannon and Danielle were just kind of going to bed. And so she's like, oh, I have a scrapbook from Uganda. Let me show you about our trip. And I'm like, oh yeah, for sure. So we start looking at her trip to Uganda. And before I know it, it's like after midnight. It might've been like 1 a.m., which I don't necessarily recommend staying up that late because, you know, that's not a wise thing. But we were just talking. And her, you know, sister was there upstairs. So anyway, I said, hey, it's getting late. I got to go. And man, I'm telling you, when I drove out of that driveway and start heading back to my apartment, I am just screaming with joy. Like, thank you, Lord. This seems to be an incredible match. This seems to be something awesome that you're doing, God, because you know what? I was just really attracted to her. And let me just say, as we're talking about still, you got to date a growing Christian, I just want to emphasize here, she needs to be godly, but I think she's also got to be good looking. I mean, come on, guys. You're not marrying out of duty, you know? I mean, my mom had tried to set me up with all these girls that she knew from back home that she thought were good Christian girls that would make a great Christian wife. And I'm like, Mom, I can't do it. You know, I just can't do that. I cannot go out with that girl. I am not interested. I mean, there's got to be some type of attraction here. And so for Lisa, I mean, that was the first thing I noticed about her was her beauty. But when we went on that first coffee date, if she couldn't give me the gospel clearly, and if she didn't seem to have a passion for the glory of Christ in all things, then I probably would have passed on her. You know, I mean, I'm about to be a pastor, right? I had left my career. I was pretty passionate about the gospel and about understanding God's word and ministering God's gospel to other people. And if she kind of wasn't on that same train, then I would have just been like, hey, it was great hanging out with you. God bless you. Be warm, be filled. And I would have gone my merry way because I did do that a few times. I told you I went on a few dates here and there that were somewhat casual or to a formal event or something, but none of them, you know, ever developed into dating. But this one was different. This was like, there was emotion stirring in my heart. There were common, you know, theological convictions. There was obvious growing godly young girl. And so I just say, look, just because she's godly doesn't mean you got to marry her. She needs to be good looking too, right? Beauty is in the eye of the beholder. There needs to be some good chemistry. Beauty, you know, also not just how she looks, but the whole package of her personality and her demeanor and that you enjoy talking with her. In fact, I mean, I was smitten, you know, over the next few days, I could barely eat. I mean, I had it bad. You know, I'd make a sandwich and try to take a bite. And I would almost like just chew one bite of the sandwich and just stop and put the rest of the sandwich back down on the plate and just be like, why eat right now if you can take this time to think about Lisa? You know, I mean, I had it bad. I'm telling you, I was like, I'm in trouble here. I need your help, Lord. And so, you know, what I did next was, this is number two, okay? I'm moving on. I know you're like, Adam, thanks for telling us how you met your wife, but can you give us some more principles? So here we go. Number two, remember the first one was, am I dating a growing Christian? Number two is, do I have my parents' permission? Do I have my parents' permission? And you're like, well, what are you talking about, Adam? What does that have to do with dating? Well, Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 3 says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, for this is the first commandment with a promise that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. And so you're like, Adam, what does that have to do? Well, listen, some of you guys that are listening to this Gen Z podcast, Way of Manhood, some of you are still high school students. Some of you are freshmen in college, and your parents probably still weigh in a good bit on what's going on in your dating life. So I would just say, if you're in high school, you need to have your parents' permission. I mean, if you live at home, you're 18 or under, and you're in your senior year, your parents need to know if you're going on a date or not, especially if you're in a Christian home. I mean, if you're not in a Christian home, I don't know what to tell you other than follow principles of Scripture for sure, but your parents might give a lot of leeway. For some of you who are listening, your parents might be kind of strict. You know, I mean, I told you, my parents said, Adam, you cannot date till you turn 16. And we've kind of upped that a little bit with our kids. We've said, hey, you can't date till you go to college. You know, when you go to college, then you're ready to maybe seriously consider a dating relationship. And I'll talk more about that. Again, I'm not a legalist. Yeah, I'm just saying different families have different ways that they emphasize how they want to approach this topic. And so anyway, I'm just saying to you, if your parents have said you can't date till you're 16, then that means you can't date till you're 16. So that means if you are listening and you're 14 years old, you're 15 years old, it would be wrong for you to go behind your parents' back and try to date somebody. Or let's say your parents say you can date when you're 16, but we want to be able to approve who it is. So that means if you want to go out with some girl and they say, nah, You can't do it. We don't know her. We don't know her family. We're not comfortable with it. We want to meet her first, whatever. You know, then you would need to abide by your parents' guidelines. Why? Because the Bible says, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. And as long as you're living in the home, and as long as you're there under their tutelage, under their, you know, as long as they claim you as a dependent on their taxes, as long as you're receiving the graces of the home that you live in and the food that you eat by them providing for you, then you need to follow their leadership. And one of the ways to follow their leadership is honoring your father and your mother by communicating with them what your desires are in the ways of dating. I mean, believe it or not, young man, your parents have a lot of wisdom in dating. Now, again, if you're in college, let's say, because I was definitely in college. I told you I was 28. I was done with college, had a career, back in seminary. And so what did the parents' role have to do at this place? I mean, we'd gone on our first date, but it's more like a coffee date. You know, we weren't serious. We were just kind of getting to know each other. But you know what I did do? A few weeks later, I did meet her parents. They came out for Thanksgiving and we got to talk and I got to meet them and she was communicating with her parents. And of course, I was communicating with my parents. And if our parents had a serious check in their spirit or had asked a question that we thought, you know, we weren't following biblical principles, like, well, is she a Christian? And I'm like, I don't know. And I'm sure my parents would have said, like, hey man, you shouldn't be doing this if you don't even know if she's a Christian, you know? So I'm just saying parents, I think, can still add wisdom and value to your perception of trying to think through this. So I'm just challenging you, young man, don't go into a dating relationship without talking to your parents. That's one way that you can for sure honor the Lord. Include your parents in your dating relationship. Now, don't go away, because when you come back, we're going to continue on how to date to the glory of God.
And we'll be back with more from Dr. Tyson in just a moment. Now, let me just say this. If you're a young man dating for the glory of God, look, man, you're swimming upstream, because culture's not teaching you how to lead with conviction. It's not teaching you how to honor a woman or fight for your purity or even think long term. That's why what Dr. Tyson is doing here with this whole entire podcast today specifically, but also this entire podcast, that's why it matters. And that's why I want to also recommend Slaying the Dragon. It matters as well. It's a resource that you can find at FortisInstitute.org right now. And it's about the war every man is fighting internally. The call to kill sin before it kills you. To stop blaming the world and to start taking ownership of your walk with Christ. You can find it right now at FortisInstitute.org. And look, if you're hungry for more of that type of sharpening, that's exactly what we've been building with Fortis Plus. It's not a highlight reel of sermons. It is daily spiritual growth. 7 new posts every single day for men and women who aren't trying to impress you. They're trying to disciple you. And it's all absolutely free. We're never going to ask you to pay a dime for Fortis Plus. Just log on to FortisPlus.org right now or download the app wherever you download your apps from. And if you're serious about growing, man, I cannot say this strongly enough. You've got to be trained theologically, practically. If you're in high school and you're looking at colleges, there's no place like the Master's University. You're not just going to get classes. You're going to get discipled by professors who care more about your walk than your GPA. Check out masters.edu/manhood right now. And finally, if any of this has been beneficial to you, don't just nod along. Join us. Stand with us. Help us reach more young men with biblical clarity. That's what being an ongoing monthly gospel partner with Fortis means. You're not just giving to content. You're investing in conviction. You can find out more information about what it would look like in your life to join us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner right now at FortisInstitute.org. All right, now let's get back to it. Let's get back to Dr. Tyson as he continues to talk about dating for the glory of God. This is Way of Manhood.
Welcome back to Way of Manhood.
American men really are in crisis. You can look at the number of men committing suicide, the number of men struggling with depression, the number of fatherless homes.
And now back to your host, Dr. Adam Tyson.
Welcome back to Way of Manhood, where we're talking about dating to the glory of God. And we have looked at principle number one, which is, am I dating a growing Christian? Principle number two is, am I having my parents' involvement, or do I have my parents' permission? Let's move on to principle number three, is God's glory on display in this relationship? And I'm taking this principle from Colossians chapter 3, verse 17, that just says, in whatever you do, in word or in deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. And what I'm saying here is that this verse makes it clear. Everything that you do, God's glory should be on display. I mean, this is what the Westminster Catechism calls, what is the chief end of man? That's the question asked. And then the answer is to glorify God by enjoying him forever. So if that's the chief end of man, to glorify God by enjoying him forever, and if Colossians 3:17 clearly says, whatever you do in word or deed, that means dating. You ask a girl out. And I'm saying that you ought to be thinking about the glory of God being on display in this relationship. And I think one of the best ways the glory of God can be on display is some of the things we've been talking about. Is it a growing Christian that I'm interested in? Do I have my parents' permission? And has she got her parents' permission to move forward in this relationship? And then is our relationship, and at this stage, it's just getting to know each other, but is the glory of God on display? I mean, you could say it this way, dating is for God's glory and not for your own gratification. And unfortunately, you know, occasionally I made out with those girls. And I'll tell you more about that too in a minute. But there was occasionally times where I would go home, take her home and kiss her. And some of those kissing goodnights were a little bit too long. And so I'm not proud of that. So I'm just saying, if you're not careful, you might be dating in a way that doesn't really glorify God. And so when we think about this, you know, we're talking about here idols of the heart. People want to be in a relationship because they want companionship and they want to be with somebody and they don't want to be the dorky, nerdy single guy who doesn't have any dates in his whole life. And so that's all stuff that we got to think about. But here's what I want to challenge you with. When you're thinking about going out with a young lady, that it's not best to ask, does she meet all of my qualifications for a wife? I know, you probably heard that at some point. You need to make a list of things that you're looking for. And sometimes people's lists are just frankly too long. You know, they'll have 20 things down and they're looking at this girl and they're thinking, does she match my need? Does she match my want and what I desire in a wife? And you know what that is? That's being selfish. That's being self-centered. Let me explain. I think that the point of the getting to know her in a coffee date kind of way is to be for the glory of God, which means this, whether she is the right one for you or not, that's not the primary goal of the date. The primary goal of the date is to glorify God, which means, hey, I'm here to encourage her. I'm here to hear a little bit about her walk with Jesus. I'm here to share with her about my walk with Jesus. And if we reciprocate romantic interests on top of that, then yeah, we might go out again and start talking about entering into a dating relationship. But if on that first coffee date, let's say she's not interested in you. I mean, isn't that kind of the story of your life? All the girls that you've ever been interested in were interested in someone else. And then all the girls that are interested in you, you weren't really interested in because you just kind of saw them as a friend. And so all this time, you don't really have a really deep leading to marriage relationship, maybe if you're single right now, because it just hasn't happened for you yet. And I'm saying that's okay. Remember, I told you last show, I was 28 when I met Lisa. So I had gone 10 years without being in serious dating relationships. And I'm just saying to you, that's okay. But you know what I did do? When I went out with girls on occasion, I sought to glorify God. There was this one girl that my friends were setting me up with. They were like, oh, she's a Christian. And I think you really like her. And so we go on this coffee date and I start asking her serious questions about her faith. And she basically was very shallow. And she just could barely answer some of the questions. It seemed pretty clear she was a Christian, but there wasn't a whole lot after that. And so guess what? I didn't ask her out again, you know, because I didn't see the growth there. In fact, she told me in that date, hey, can we talk about something else? So it's hard to glorify God when somebody's just interested in talking about something else. And so here's my point again. Don't just have a checklist in your mind. And if she matches everything in your checklist, you're like, okay, you know, this is good. She's got what I want. Instead, how can I glorify God? How can I encourage her? And if it goes to dating, great. If it never goes to dating, great. The point isn't I'm here to find a wife. That's selfishness. The point is I'm here to encourage a fellow sister in Christ in her walk with the Lord in a way that will put God's glory on display in our relationship at any level, whether it's a casual coffee date or something more serious. And I'm just telling you guys, dating's not about you. It's about the glory of God. And so are you really thinking about how to glorify God in your dating? If you are, then you're dating in a way that glorifies God. And if you aren't thinking that way, if you're just like, man, I don't want to do the Christian stuff and all this Christian things, I just want to do what I want to do. Well, you need to confess that to the Lord right now. And you need to realize, I need to make sure I'm placing the glory of God on display in this relationship. If you can't date to the glory of God, don't date. Okay? Let me move on. Let's move on to number four. The fourth principle that I want to give you on dating to the glory of God would be this. Number four, have I included my youth pastor, if you're in youth group, pastor, that could be a college pastor or your senior pastor, or spiritual mentor in this relationship? So have I included my youth pastor, my pastor, or spiritual mentor in this relationship? I am amazed of how many young men in our church start dating some girl and they never talk to anybody in leadership about it. You know, I mean, maybe they just haven't been taught. Maybe they haven't been trained. Maybe they haven't been encouraged. But man, there's got to be something healthy for a young man to go up to his pastor, go up to his elder, go up to his small group leader, go up to his discipler and say, hey, I'm interested in asking this girl out, or I did go on this date and I'm interested in going further. Can I talk to you about some principles that would honor God? Because Proverbs 19:20 says, listen to advice and accept instruction that you may gain wisdom in the future. So the Proverbs is full of passages like that, right? That you need to seek godly counsel. And when you're talking about church, you know, you're talking about your leaders, right? I mean, Hebrews 13:17 says, obey your leaders and submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls as those who will have to give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with groaning, for that would be of no advantage to you. So again, the only time I would step in as a pastor and say, hey, you shouldn't be doing that, would be if the guy's dating a non-believer. You know, had a young lady in our church a few years back. She was dating somebody. She was all excited about it. I heard about it. I asked her about it. She said, yeah, I didn't want to tell you because he's a Catholic. And I'm like, oh, okay. Well, what do you mean? Like, he still attends the Catholic Church and holds to the Roman Catholic view of justification by the sacraments? And she's like, yep. And I looked at this young lady and I'm like, well, you can't date him. I mean, she was a member of our church. She was a gospel affirming justification by faith in Christ alone. I'm like, I'm sorry, you can't date this guy. And she said, oh, I can't help myself. I've already fallen in love with him and I don't know what to do. And I said, I'll tell you what, why don't I meet with you guys together and I'll try to see if he is interested in coming to the faith. And so I had one meeting with them together. I witnessed to this guy, and after the meeting, he was offended, shared that with the girl, never came back. And sadly, this girl went with him. We actually had to discipline this young lady. She was a member. We believed that she was seeking to be unequally yoked. I had clearly cautioned her about this. We had pursued her, and we ended up doing church discipline because she ended up marrying a non-believer. It's pretty serious, right? There are times that you need to have your pastor's objective biblical wisdom at play to help you think through this relationship. Now, that was a pretty strong one I shared about this girl who dated the Catholic. What about just somebody that you're dating and it's not clear that the relationship is honoring to the Lord, or there's different sin involved, or there's a past to that person? Maybe they don't know about it, but the pastor does. And he's like, hey, man, I'm just cautioning you. You need to be careful here. You know, and again, you don't have to tell everything, but a spiritual mentor or pastor needs to be involved. And again, I'm not lording over young men in my church, telling them who you can date and who you can't date, other than the fact, hey, is she a believer? I'd love to get to meet her. Can we hang out together? How about Lisa and I have you guys over one night? Let's talk a little bit about your relationship. I mean, Your Christian parents should be doing that if they are Christian parents, but you also need other godly mentors. You know, why would you want to hide your relationship from a godly mentor? If you're trying to hide the dating relationship, something's wrong. Something's off. You ought to want to talk about that relationship with a godly man in your life. Let me pray for you guys as we wrap up this show on how to date to the glory of God. Father, thank you for the opportunity as we've taken a couple of weeks now just to talk about dating to the glory of God, that we want to help encourage young men to date believers, to include their parents, to include their pastors and spiritual leaders, and to make sure that they're even pursuing this dating relationship to the glory of God. Would you give wisdom? Would you give patience? Would you give clarity of how to apply many of these verses and many of these principles in each heart and in each life? And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.
This has been Way of Manhood from Dr. Adam Tyson, a production of Fortis Institute. Our website is fortisinstitute.org, and it is your central hub for all things Fortis. If you've enjoyed Way of Manhood with Dr. Adam Tyson, would you please consider subscribing and sharing with your friends and church family? Also, would you prayerfully consider joining this labor of love by becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner? And until next time, go serve your King.